looking for unity.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis in for Bill Radke. President Obama spoke before the United Nations General Assembly for the first time in his presidency. The president proclaimed a new spirit of cooperation in tackling global problems. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from our Washington Bureau with an update. Good morning, John.
Hello, Steve.
So how did the president make the argument that the time is ripe for change?
Well, his own election, for one thing. He said because he's in the office, the U.S. is more willing to engage with the world, to work together with other countries rather than going it alone. He talked about the cooperation to deal with the global economic crisis, the $2 trillion that have been poured into saving the financial system and stimulating the world economy. And he said there are changes in environmental policy. The U.S. will no longer drag its feet on reversing global warming. He said these kinds of changes can bring about a global economy that provides opportunities for everyone, not just the wealthy. And to do that, he said the developed nations have to get the economy growing again.
That means vigilance to ensure that we do not let up until our people are back to work. That means taking steps to rekindle demand so that global recovery can be sustained. And that means setting new rules of the road and strengthening regulation for all financial centers, so that we put an end to the greed and the excess and the abuse that led us into this disaster and prevent a crisis like this from ever happening again.
And President Obama at the UN this morning. John, did he have anything to say about his priorities for the future?
He said he had four of them: non-proliferation of nuclear weapons, peace, especially in the Middle East, the preservation of the planet, and improving the global economy. But he stressed that the U.S. can't solve these problems alone, and he called on all countries to share in the responsibilities.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale from Washington. John, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Let's check numbers. Markets are down right now. The S&P down about 0.2%. The Dow pretty much flat, but down just a tad, about 5 points at 98.24. The NASDAQ is up right now, up less than 0.1%. European shares are down this morning by under 0.25%. And in Asia, shares there closed mostly lower today. Ah, fall. Change is in the air, and change is on the air. TV networks are bombarding us with new stuff. Two big comedies premiere tonight on ABC. Former friend Courtney Cox stars in Cougar Town, about a dating divorcee. There's another show, Modern Family. In fact, there are a whole lot of sitcoms on the roster this season, and we give it a little fine tune with Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith.
NBC, Fox, and ABC are all betting big on funny. There's Hank, about a Wall Street exec who loses his job, The Cleveland Show, an offshoot of animated hit Family Guy, and Modern Family, about kids and parents trying to keep up with them.
I'm hip. I surf the web. I text. LOL. Laugh out loud. OMG. Oh my God. WTF. Why the face?
Compared to the last several years, this is a bumper crop for new comedies.
Robert Thompson is a professor of TV and pop culture at Syracuse University. He says the last few years have been all about the hour-long drama. Lost, Grey's Anatomy, Mad Men. Now, he says, networks are rediscovering the advantages of lighter fare.
When a sitcom becomes a big hit, it is so incredibly versatile. Not only are they highly rerunnable, they're also so much easier to adapt to online multi-platforming than the drama is.
That's TV speak for things like webisodes and online spin-offs. Comedies are also usually much cheaper to produce than dramas, and Thompson says in this economy, that's got all the networks smiling. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The G20 summit begins tomorrow in Pittsburgh, a place, if there ever was one, that understands economic change. It is a steel town that was turned upside down more than 25 years ago when its main industry started going away. Marketplace's Rico Galliano spoke to some steel workers about advice they'd give to others in a one-industry town, such as, say, Detroit, and the changes it's seeing right now.
I am Raymond Henderson. My age is 69. I used to be a steel worker.
My name is Greg Mowry, and I was a steel worker for 23 years.
What was it like when the mills closed?
It was terribly sad to come past and see the buildings just standing was worse than having them torn down. Because people kept thinking, well, it's going to come back, it's going to come back. It was very depressing to come past here every day.
I had buddies that committed suicide. There were other guys that just decided they were going to drink and do drugs. I was a different breed, I guess. It was just a process. I knew it was going to take place, and I knew I had to go out here and find a job somewhere. They had a benefit through the steel industry and the federal government that would allow you to go back to school to re-educate yourself. And it was like a two-year program. I became a social worker.
I did actually go to auto mechanics, got a degree in that, but it was too tough on my back. And there was 100,000 people in this valley that lost their jobs at the same time, so it was very difficult to find any kind of work.
Oh, as a steel worker, I was making something like $50,000, $60,000 a year. When I got a new job, it went down to about $23,000, $24,000 a year. You didn't eat steak anymore. You ate lunch meat.
What do you say to the people in Detroit who are maybe going through something similar?
The biggest factor is to network your friends. It's very difficult when industry cuts back all at the same time because there are no jobs available, so you have to rely on close friends, and that's how I got in a print shop. I worked with Mike Stott in the mill, and Mike called me and said, would I consider coming to work at the print shop? And that's what I became, the printer.
Best thing I can tell people in Detroit, use what you got. The automobile industry plants, they can build a whole new industry off of that. Building windmills up there, they should convert it over to that. They got to adapt quickly, and I think it can be done.
Marketplace's Rico Galliano produced that audio postcard for us. Hey, hope you can check us out online at marketplace.org. Of course, share your thoughts with us there and our online scratch pad with host Scott Jagow at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.